Alex Doherty covers the Preds, A to Z Sports. You know who right now is better than going to the website NHL.com? You know who does a better job right now than NHL.com, Alex?
Who's that?
The Preds, because they're 8-2-1. Hey-o! Get it? See, they're on fire. NHL.com website still sucks. But anyway, I digress. Do you wear spandex? You don't wear spandex, right?
Do I wear spandex?
Yeah.
Not regularly. No,
yeah,
I don't know when I don't know when I last did.
Or ever?
Well, I don't know. I college was a blur, so maybe.
Okay. Justin is a big fan of spandex, so just was checking.
Mm.
8-2-1 are the Preds. They've just, you know, traded away everybody, brought up Milwaukee, and they're winning hockey games.
Yeah, it's kind of been fun to watch. I mean, I would say this has been probably the most exciting that the Predators have been since probably before the pandemic. I would say it's like maybe. I mean, this team still has flaws. I mean, let's not kid ourselves; they're not built for a championship. There's no doubt about that. But I would say that they are having more fun, and it looks like more fun to watch, just because when you've got guys on the ice that want to be there, that are hungry, as John Hines said multiple times. Boy, if you get a chance, if you haven't already, you should really watch his clip that I posted last night of John Hines talking about, you know, what's kind of been working recently. And I think I think the most common word was hungry. He said that we've got a bunch of guys that are hungry to compete, that want to be there, that don't have big contracts. Now, he didn't say that word, but I think you can read between the lines of what he was saying. These are guys that haven't made it in the league. They're playing for their careers. They're playing for what they want to be in this league, and you see that on the ice. I mean, Tommy Novak, Luke Evangelista, Cody Glass, when he was in there, Juuso Parsonen, and even though he's injured now, these guys are like, they don't have careers yet. They're trying to make them right now. And, boy, that's fun to watch. I mean, you see guys going into corners, battling. Cole Smith last night, I thought, had a great game, just a really great, solid defensive game from him. But it's just been a lot of fun to watch. I mean, if you're not paying attention to the Predators because you saw they were way out of it, you might want to tune in because things are looking a little bit better.
They're 4 points out from that last spot with 3 games in hand. Heck, they're just 5 points out from the third spot in the division. I mean, I know the Colorado and them have played the same amount of games, but they're only another extra point out from the third spot in the division.
Darren, they could be in a playoff spot by this Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah.
They play the Blackhawks tomorrow, and Winnipeg plays the Bruins, who are very good, who beat the pants off the Predators last time they saw them. And then the Predators play the Jets, of course, here in Nashville at Bridgestone Arena in the afternoon. So by Saturday night, the Predators could be in a playoff spot, which would be unthinkable.
Hmm. Or Bridgy, Alex. That's what Jeremy Lauzon called it last night. Bridgy. I've never heard that before. I mean, I know hockey players are all about nicknames, but that's the first I've ever heard a player call it Bridgy.
I have never heard that. I missed that last night, and I got to say, I don't think that's going to stick, but that's a unique one.
Well, considering it's the first time I've heard it, and it's 2023, what, 25 years of hockey in this market? You know, I think you may be onto something. It probably won't stick, but I got to be honest. I got to give him kudos. I've never heard a player call, you know, where they play, Bridgie. I'm like, well, good for him.
I've never heard that either. That's a new one on me.
You know, listening to John Hines talk after the games, I also kind of feel like the players are outdoorsmen because it seems like a lot of people are hunting.
Yes, that was a common one too. Yeah, guys are hunting. Guys are hungry. And look, I think he's right. I mean, I see guys out there who 3 months ago either weren't on the team or had no. You know, buy-in or really we're not even really a part of this movement. I mean, take a guy like Jakob Trenin. All right, so Jakob Trenin kind of took a backseat to Tanner Janot last year because Tanner Janot was so good, but he still had a solid season. And then earlier this year, the focus was all on Tanner because, you know, he was an RFA. And everyone was waiting for that next big step from him. But Jakob Trenin has steadily been one of the most consistently energetic players on this team. I mean, there's been several games where I came away thinking that Jakob Trenin was the best player on the team, and he didn't even do anything on the scoreboard. Like, he did no points at all. So, like, that guy, he's hungry. He wants it, too. I mean, Colton Sissons, Roman Josi, obviously Philip Forsberg, Matthew Shane, those guys are always – those guys have been in it. They're contributors. They're veterans. Well, what happens when you throw an Igor Afanasyev in there? What happens when you get a guy like Mark Jankowski who doesn't have a solid roster spot in the NHL yet? Maybe he's gonna take that next step. Tomasino, these guys are just they're hunting for spots is what they're doing.
So what was it? Why the turnaround? What's going on? I mean, is John Hines putting a message out there? I mean. Why do we think it wasn't working all year? They shed their roster. They bring in a bunch of young whippersnappers, and now they're winning hockey games on a consistent basis.
I think a lot of it's just opportunity. I mean, you can give credit to John Hines if you want to. You can discredit him if you want to. But I think a lot of it's just opportunity. I mean, you lost a lot of minutes when you traded away Ekholm, Granlund, Tanner Janot, and Nino Niederreiter. Four spots, four everyday starters, and then all of a sudden you got to replace those guys. And then, by the way, two of your other top guys are injured with Philip Forsberg and Ryan.
Well, don't forget Carrier, Parsonen, Forsberg, Johansson. Those guys are long gone. They haven't been there. Forsberg's missed what now? 15 games?
Yeah. And he's skating, but you know, it's just like, you know, we don't know exactly how long that's going to be. Parsonen, I'm a little worried we might not see him for a while. I think Forsberg will be back. I don't think he's done for the year. I think he will be back.
I guess what I'm asking, Alex, is what does it say, right? Like, we've seen that core together for a good while, and all we've talked about it is it, you know, going the wrong direction. It's not moving forward. So what do we think it was? Look, let me just say this, and I've said this for years, and this is certainly not a dig at David Poile because I'm pro David Poile, but it's going to come off that way. Although I've been saying it for years. This is, again, just for me. This is my two cents, and you can push back on it. They have got to get out of the business of long-term deals, rewarding everybody with long contracts. I've been saying this for years. Stop giving everybody long, guaranteed contracts. You know why? Because their belly gets full. They're not hungry. There's that hungry word. Their belly's full. They're not hungry. Quit giving everybody long contracts. How about you have people that are desperate and want to play for a job, want to play for a contract, and get out of the business of rewarding everybody? I hope to goodness Barry Trotz moving forward does do away with that. Like, this team has got to give that a break for a while.
I mean, the problem is there's a lot of agents on the other side that are going to really put you to it if you're not willing to pay guys, and they will go to other teams. I think the key for Barry Trotz is how will he manage the RFA guys, the cost-controlled guys, the guys that you can not have to pay huge bucks to early on.
Now, but I say so what, though? Because here's my thing. Alex, I'm on record. I can't, but there is audio. When they signed Granlund, I was like, no, I wouldn't have done it. I like Mikhail Granlund. I would never have given him that. Never. I wouldn't have done it. I would have let him walk. There's other examples, and we don't need to go through all this. It's done. It's water under the bridge. But so what? So they move on. Let them move on. Well, there's young, hungry guys behind them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, young, hungry guys that may have it, may not. The Granlund one, I can't defend that. That was a bad contract. I mean, people also doubted the Johansson contract, which, by the way, was at the time, you know, definitely an overpay and is for sure now an overpay. The long-term contract here, the problem is you can't just throw money at a problem, but the cap is the cap for a reason. You have to spend to it. I mean, if you've got to get – You've got to be able to pay players at least close to or even above their market. It's sometimes it's about timing. I mean, the Predators had the opposite thing of what happened with the Blackhawks. The Blackhawks won all their cups and then paid their players. The Predators paid all their players with the opportunity of maybe winning a cup after that. Well, it's just, I mean, the same thing happened with both players. You know, after those Blackhawks players, I'm just picking the Blackhawks because that's who the Predators play tomorrow. After they paid all those players, they didn't win anything. I mean, after 15, when they paid Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews and Duncan Keith and all those guys, they didn't win anything else. They stopped, and so did the Predators. The Predators didn't win anything either. So the issue is the Blackhawks had three cups in their rafters before that. So sometimes it's about timing. I think the timing is looking a little better now because they got some of these young guys who are hungrier and hunting for those spots that they won't have to give. You know, Tomasino, Cody Glass, Evangelista, they're not going to make $8 million in this league for a long time. It's going to be several years before they get to that level. So why not sign them to some bridge deals and some good lower AAV, lower money right now?
Yeah, I like that. I'm on board with that. It's just again right now it's proven that has not worked. You know, the max deals, it just hasn't worked. I mean,
You got to spend money, but you got to spend it in the right way.
Yeah.
And they've clearly not done that over the last 6 years.
Alex, what has happened to this hockey team? Has the pressure gotten off of them now that the general manager has decided to retire? Because it felt like to me, Alex, all year long, we were waiting for something to happen. Either the team was going to get good as we thought they were going to be, or a head coach was going to be fired, or a GM was going to be let go, or something. Well, now something has happened, and it seems like this team is playing, and a lot of people have left too. It seems like the locker room has changed. It would seem like the way they play has changed, has lightened up. Is this a lighter Predators team?
They are playing like they are a senior in high school that has already taken all their exams, and yet they still, for some reason, have to go to class for the last couple weeks.
Oh, boy.
And then they actually go to class, and they're like, oh, this actually isn't that bad. It's kind of fun here now because they don't have to worry about anything. That's what they're playing like. They're playing like it doesn't matter and like they can play loose. They don't have to worry about making mistakes. They don't have to worry about proving to their coach that they deserve more ice time, because if they play well, they're going to get it. I think Hines deserves a little bit of credit here. I mean, I've often said I think Hines was overly criticized for his mistakes. I cannot defend Ailey Tolvanen thing, but I think he's done well with guys like Cody Glass and Tommy Novak, for example. Those guys were healthy scraps or not in the team early on in the year because, as he says, they weren't ready. Well, now that Cody Glass became ready all of a sudden and Tommy Novak is ready and he's got a 5-game point streak or something like that, he's probably the hottest player on the team, all of a sudden they look comfortable. I think there's something to that. I mean, if they'd played, I don't think they would have played like this in November when they're trying to fight for space next to a Mikael Granlund and a Nino Niederreiter. They have to prove everything and they have to do it all right. Now they're like, they're the only guy. They're going to get 15 minutes a night. They just got to do as best they can with it, and they're playing looser. So credit John Hines somewhat. I think you got to credit the players who are there, who are contributing. By the way, UC Soros has been incredible for the last month or so. He's been right up there along with the best goalies in the league. I don't think he's going to catch up and become a Vezina finalist, but it does not hurt when your goaltender is among the best in the league either.
Talk to me about the draft picks that this team has been able to acquire because of all the trades and what you feel like the future of this team is going to look like. Because I was thinking about this, and I haven't even talked about this with Darren because I've had some time to kind of marinate on it. With the amount of picks that they have, they can create whatever kind of team they want. Literally, they can fill every position with whatever talent that is out there. So what are they going to decide to do?
Okay, so here's my take on the draft, all right? I think the draft is the NHL draft is not like the NFL draft. It is so much more luck-driven. I mean, it's a crapshoot, it feels like, almost every year. But if you are able to get volume, if you're able to just collect a number of picks, you will almost always hit at least a couple, right? So the Predators right now have at least 7 picks in the top 100. I think that's a key number. Getting as many picks as you can in the top 100, The Predators have 7 this year. They have 5 next year. And then they have, I think, just 4 in the following year. You're going to hit on a couple of those. If you only had 3 picks in the top 100, which is what you're given automatically, you might not hit on any of them. And so getting the volume is key. But here's the other exciting thing. And I think I've talked about this with you guys. Maybe I have or maybe I haven't. Maybe Darren, you brought it up. But there is a really intriguing possibility that they could offer sheet somebody in the offseason. There are a lot of really good names out there. Trevor Zegras is one of them, who we just saw in Anaheim. And that requires not only a lot of cap room, which they have now, but it requires draft pick compensation, which they have now. And now it requires more draft picks than they have. But there's an awful intriguing possibility of what if they were to really reload quickly and go get a Trevor Zegras or a the guy I'm blanking on, Alex DeBrincat, who's also an RFA. What if they went and got one of those guys, plugged them into their team now, and all of a sudden they are a legitimate contender again because they've got a top lottery pick guy? Just throwing it out there, it probably doesn't happen, but it's something that people have brought up before.
What kind of contract are you going to give them?
I mean, it'll have to be in the $10 million range, and I know you're not going to like that.
Here we go. We just covered this ground, Alex. No, we just covered this ground. No more big contracts.
But Darren, they've never had a guy like Trevor Zegras on their team.
I get it. He's talent.
All right, now listen.
And if you can't, go ahead.
I'm hearing a dispute between Darren and Alex here that I just want to get straight, because as you know, Alex, you know, I'm on my hockey journey here, which has been fantastic. But Darren was telling me that drafting in the NHL typically goes very well. They're able to identify talent, especially towards the top of the draft.
At the top.
Just the one pick
You go back, this analogy, Alex, and I've probably brought this up.
So let me get clarity. Go ahead and give me the clarity.
Since the Predators have been in the league, go look at the first 3 draft picks in the last 24 years. It's amazing how much the NHL hits. When you go look at Major League Baseball, you go look at the NFL, you go look at the other leagues in the top 3. NBA's probably got a pretty good success rate, I would say. But football and baseball, like the first 3 picks in the draft, you would think are always going to be hits, right?
No.
Yeah. They miss all the time. Like all the superstars that have come through the league, for the most part, go look. Mm-hmm. They were in those first 3 picks.
So Alex, do you agree with that assessment there?
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. Every draft is very top heavy. I would actually go top 5, just to nitpick. I would go top 5. I mean, I think, like, just for example, Cale Makar was a top 4 pick, or he was a number 4 overall. So, like, but here's the problem. Like, you need to get multiple of those. You cannot do it with one player. I mean, you have to hit on a lot of them in a really short amount of time in order to do that. So you got to be bad for a really long period of time to really do that. But the draft is, yes, the NHL draft is very much a top-heavy kind of draft, and the Predators are just not going to be in that position. So you're going to have to get there other ways. That's what Barry Trotz said when I asked him that same thing about whether he's willing to tank to get to the top of the draft. He's like, we're probably not going to be in a position to do that. We're going to have to acquire those guys other ways. And I'm sorry, Darren, but that's going to take money.
Yeah, and that's my point to this. They've only had that draft pick – if we branch out to top 5, which you said 4, what was Seth Jones? 4, I think?
4.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so that was the highest. Before that, it was just the David Legg one, the first pick that they had, second overall. In other words, they're never getting to choose those guys because they're never picking that high.
Yeah.
Ever.
Well, but they've acquired guys who are in the top. I mean, Duchesne was a 3rd overall.
Yeah, but I know. There's a reason why they're out there to be acquired, right?
Ryan Johansson was number 4. I mean, just saying they've structured everything where they are willing to pay for guys to up at that top of the draft, but they're not willing to be bad enough to get there. And I frankly do not blame them, because there is no guarantee, first of all, that you're even going to get a guy that is really good. I mean, Eric Gudbranson, by the way, was a 3rd overall pick.
He was. Yep.
I mean, Ryan Murray, another one. Like, there's a lot of bad ones, too. But, I mean, obviously there's more good ones than bad ones. I'm not arguing that. But they're not willing to take a chance and get a team full of Sam Reinhardts on their team and then be in the same position they were before where they don't have any good forwards. So just something to consider.
Good conversation, Alex. Yeah. Thank you for keeping the conversation so we didn't have to talk about Aaron Rodgers and all that crap. You know, Ja Morant, his suspension. So thank you for joining us.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. I'm your escape from having to talk about the big stories that are over on the .coms and everything. So, yeah, no problem. I'll do that any day of the week.
We'll get to it.
It's just Aaron Rodgers. Like, oh, just make your damn decision and move on, man. Golly. All right. Thank you, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Alex.
Of course. Yep. Anytime.
Good stuff with him, as always. Alex Doherty covers the Preds. Ray to Z Sports.